seems.
Well, can we go back to the top of column 2 in the summary of the invention? It's quite fair, I think, for you to say the first two sentences seem to speak to a very broad invention, not limited to seals. But starting at line 3, there is a long paragraph, column 2, line 3, which, without qualification, starts to get very specific about the support structure, the carriage, the pneumatic cylinder, the piston rod, and so forth. And it includes the sentence saying, quote, "The piston has at least one pressure-activated seal extending circumferentially around the piston for engagement with an inside surface of the cylinder housing," period, end quote.
Yes, Your Honor, that language is there. I believe that is properly construed as a description of the preferred embodiment.
Well, there certainly isn't any of the normal signal of that, like preferentially or such as or can be, etc. It says in a rather unqualified phrase, "the piston has."
Well,
the
piston particularly has. You got in the next paragraph.
The next
begins in one embodiment. The next paragraph starts talking about embodiments. There hasn't been any discussion about embodiments in the paragraph that Chief Judge Michel read to you.
I believe that this specification needs to be viewed in light of the purpose of the specification, which is to teach how to practice the invention and disclose the best mode. It is not intended to define the scope of the invention. That's what the claims are for. And when we get to the claims, I think it is very clear to one of ordinary skill reading claim 1 that a pressure-activated seal is not a part of that claim.
Well, if it didn't have this specification with it, you might have quite a strong point. But the trouble is, the specification and the claims are part of a unitary legal instrument. And we have legion case laws saying you must read claim terms of all the claims in light of the specification. So first thing in the specification, well, not the first thing, but one of the first things is the section summary of the invention. Why isn't it fair to read the summary of the invention as the inventor telling you what he invented?
Well, certainly that is part of the invention. But every claim doesn't need to include every element of an invention. You can have some claims on some parts of an invention and other claims that cover other parts. I don't think it's fair to read this summary of invention as if it requires that every claim include every detail that is described.
Well, but Judge Lake has a very good point. The paragraph after the paragraph from which I read says, in what embodiment? The next paragraph starts out, in an alternative embodiment, and so on. So one might say that up to column 2, line 18, it was a description of the invention, and from line 18 on, it was a description of various differing embodiments of the invention.
I don't think that's a fair reading because of the first sentence of that summary, which does suggest a broad invention and is then followed by more specifics. Moreover, I do think it is important to keep in mind that at column 7, line 40 and 42 in particular, this specification does remind the reader that the specification does not disclose all structures or all embodiments, but rather describes the preferred ones, and that the scope of the invention should be judged by the structures described in the claims, not just those in the specification.
I want to bring you back from